This is part two of the success call with Matt Curtis. This builder, this guy's a builder, developer, been around a long time. Why does he need you? Why doesn't he develop his own sales team?
Good question. Hopefully he's not listening to this call. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, they had tried that. They had their own real estate company, and their issue that they kept, their hot button that they kept running into, or pain point, was sales agent quits or gets fired, they're back into sales. And so they kept going on a cyclical, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. And so we took that risk and that burden off of them so that they could focus on building a company. Because if you go back into field selling, yeah, they're going to sell more homes than a typical agent's going to, but then everything else is going to go downhill. And so for them to build a long-term viable business, they felt like they needed to partner with someone like us.
For anyone listening who would like to start working with new home builders, new construction sales, what advice do you have to them to get that ball rolling, to get going in that direction?
I think it's a couple of things. I think one is, you know, getting that experience. So, you know, first, if that's really the route you want to go, you might go work for a builder and find out the systems and the process. Secondly, you're going to want to network with the builders. You know, like you said, the challenge is a lot of them are going to have their own sales teams. And so it's really finding those right builders that are going to need to partner with you versus doing it themselves.
Matt, let's start talking now about your past clients and sphere of influence, repeat and referrals. What percentage of your business last year came from that source?
Last year, it was just over 30%, 30.4%, 76 transactions.
76 closings. Wow, that's fantastic. And how big is your database of past clients and sphere of influence?
So our total database is over 22,000, of which about 700 of those are past clients.
Is the 700, are you also including your sphere of influence, or is that a secondary group?
We're including the sphere of influence into that database as well. Realistically, our past client, our sphere of influence program has not been to the level that I want it to be going forward, but we're having a lot of success even with the little bit of effort that we're doing because of the reputation that we have in town and the service level that we've been able to provide.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. You're getting about 11% of your list to either refer or repeat, and more importantly, close the 76 out of 700. So something's going right. Let's talk more about that. How do you track your database? Are you keeping them in your Commissions Inc. database, or do you have a separate database?
Yeah, we've had different databases throughout the years. Currently, they are in that Commissions Inc. database. That just gives us some more flexibility with mass emails or keeping up with our notes and doing some different things through the system. So Commissions Inc. is our main CRM.
What is your current marketing plan to past clients and sphere of influence? What did you do in the last year that resulted in those 76 closings? And if you could help us out with, say, an annual marketing plan, just kind of sketch out for us the big picture view, what you're doing, what the frequency is, et cetera.
Yeah, so over the last 12 months or so, it's been really a simple plan. It's getting their birthdays, and obviously we know when their home anniversary is, and so we'll mail them out a card on their home anniversary, and we had partnered with a local ice cream shop where we're sending them an ice cream gift card on them or their kids' birthdays. So those two things, and we typically send out an annual letter as well with a calendar. So those are the kind of the three ingredients that have produced, you know, those transactions for us.
How did you get the kids' birthdays?
We asked.
When do you ask? Do you ask at the closing? Do you ask during the process? When do you get gathering that information?
Yeah, typically we're asking at the closing table, or if, you know, the situation just wasn't right or we forgot, then we'll typically follow up with them after closing.
What is the annual mail out?
usually that's just kind of a summary of, you know, thanking them for a great year, providing a calendar, and then just, you know, giving some highlights of our year and thanking them for the referrals.
So basically three pieces of mail.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And is that it? Are you doing anything else? Are you making phone calls, doing stop-bys?
That's pretty much been it. In the early days when it was just me, I was delivering baked goods that my wife would make, going door-to-door, and especially as, you know, I was working for a builder and a lot of those homes were all within a neighborhood. So that's what we used to do. Unfortunately, there's just not the bandwidth to do that anymore. Kind of going forward, you know, our plan is we did do a movie day last year. So that was the first time that we had done that. We're going to continue that. We are going to have a big client party this year. And we're going to do more monthly emails where we're providing some value add, some giveaways for, say, Valentine's Day or 4th of July and some of those other holidays.
Do you have a certain subgroup of those folks that are your best referrers and you're doing anything unique with them, like taking them to lunch or making a personal call to them?
You know, that's a great question, and that's really something that we should be doing, that we're not, but we will be in the near future. So that's something that's on our agenda as well. You know, a lot of those, you know, some of those people I'm already doing life together where, you know, we may be neighbors or friends and hanging out and seeing them other ways. But for the other ones, we definitely have to be more intentional about that in the coming years.
That's pretty spectacular to me that you have such a great repeat and referral percentage, 11% of your list, and you're doing what most would consider kind of the minimums. You're mailing out the home anniversary card, the ice cream card, the annual mail out, and you also had a movie day. So that's fantastic. That's pretty good. It's going to be interesting to see if the percentage goes up or stays the same or even goes down as you add other items. Maybe you have the perfect mix.
Yeah, well, the next call that we make when we're doing 500 transactions, we'll tell you about it.
Very good. Very good. So we're gonna leave this area. Is there anything that you would like to add about past clients and sphere of influence that we haven't talked about?
Nope, that's it.
Well, Matt, you've mentioned your team a couple times. You got a bunch of people running around. Could you give us a big overview of who's on your team?
Sure. So we have a system, and so basically I'll explain the roles, and I'll explain the number of people in each role. But, you know, basically the first function is generating the leads, and so that's my job, is to generate the leads for the team. Once we have the leads, then, you know, buyer or listing agent will take that over, you know, help them find the right house or help them sell their home. From there, it gets turned over to our closing team. We have a full-time licensed closing coordinator, and we have a assistant as well. That assistant helps with the closing coordinator, and she also helps the listing partners with listing entry. And during that process, we have a runner as well that helps put out signs, open house signs, and, you know, anything else that needs to be done. So currently, we have a team of 15 team members. That's not how many we had in 2015. We've recently hired several new agents. And so currently, to ramp up to the 350 sale mark for this year, we have 15. One of those is a listing partner. We have 7 buyer's agents. We have a new position with us, which is called a college grad buyer's agent. So where we take somebody directly out of college, we mentor them, we shadow them, we help them that first year out as a buyer's agent, provide a lot of training for them, and then kind of turn them loose after that year to become their own buyer's agent on our team. We have a marketing manager / recruiter / listing manager. We have a part-time runner, closing manager, assistant closing manager / listing manager, and then we have that one new home sales agent. And then finally, you have me, which is the team leader.
You mentioned you had fewer people last year. How many people did you have on your team last year when you closed the 218 homes?
On average, we had about 10.
And then you said you're gearing up now. You're bringing in some more people. And your goal is to close what this year?
350.
350 homes. Wow, that is that's a pretty big jump. That's an ambitious add. You're looking to add, what is that? That's over half. What, about 60%?
Well, we're at 250, and so that'd be about 40%.
Okay, because you said 250 contracts, but only the 218 closings. Is that what you mean?
Right. So, yeah, we're looking at 350 contracts. And so, you know, obviously, we may close 320 next year because we'll have some more pending into the next year.
So now you're ramping up with the number of people you have. What else are you doing to ramp up to this bigger goal? Are you increasing your marketing on internet? You mentioned you're adding radio. What else are you doing?
Yeah, this has almost felt like I've built an entire new business over the last 6 months. And so we've revamped everything. What we found was all of our systems and procedures and everything worked great for the size that we're at, but they weren't something that we could duplicate as we added new offices and expanded with new people. So it's been, you know, centralizing everything into one database, you know, something as simple as that with Commissions Inc., adding new accounting software, new phone software, spent a lot of time developing a very extensive policies and procedures manual for new agents as they came on board, where, you know, I literally had, you know, over 100 training documents for them on how do I do this? How do I create this search and make this call in the database? Or how do I do this? So really just creating the right systems and procedures. We implemented the new tracking system with, you know, to be able to track all of our agents' calls with the TelePro system, and then simplifying some of our back-end reporting so that I could have all the numbers that I needed, you know, at my fingertips versus having to kind of create some of those reports. So really just kind of streamlining our process so that we only had to plug in new team members. Part of that, too, was, you know, I hired this marketing manager / recruiter, so we finally have the person in place that can train the new agents. So really just kind of putting all those pieces in place. We already had the leads. It was just putting the systems in place to be able to incrementally grow.
That's a really interesting statement there at the end. So you're leading with leads. If you can generate enough leads, you feel that you can bring in the people to handle those leads. So for instance, if your leads have been dropping off over the last year and you were only able to generate 50 leads a month, you wouldn't be in grow phase. Because you're able to generate excess leads, you feel that you can ramp up your team to meet that and service those people.
Sure. Yeah. I had a meeting with some of my agents today. We're talking about recruiting, and, you know, the common question you get is, how many agents are you going to hire? Are we going to have enough leads? And if they're not saying it, they're thinking it. And so the thing that I reiterated to them was, I'm literally stepping on I'm putting on the brakes on leads. I can ramp up on leads anytime. That's the easy part for me. So it's just, you know, finding the right people. And as we do, leads are not an issue.
You also mentioned that you spent a lot of time putting together 100 training documents. I assume those are simple checklists to do one particular item or task. You've broken it down to the nitty-gritty, and you've looked at one simple task, and you've broken down exactly what has to happen in that task so that you could train somebody. Say one of your key people leaves, your closing manager, you could bring a new one in and have him up and running much quicker. I assume that's why you did that. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone were to leave, or we continue to grow and we need someone else, that way that team member training them is not completely down as they retrain the new team member. They can train them and also point them in the right direction with the procedures. And so this document is basically, it's just a Google document where I've got it broken down for admin and closing team and buyer's agents and listing partners and all of our training documents. And it's just links. You know, here's how you do X. Here's how you do Y.
Did you go out and purchase the 100 training documents, or did you create each of them yourself?
Unfortunately, there weren't the procedures and the documents out there for me to purchase. And so fortunately, on the listing and closing side, I have such a great closing team that they already had a majority of the documents already created for their own purpose. We just had it to compile those and refine them. on the agent side, that's where I would go out, and I created most of those myself.
You've got these buyer agents. You've got 7 buyer agents. You now have a listing partner. A lot of people, when they're bringing in these type of team members, their question always pops up, compensation. How are you compensating your buyer agent and listing partner?
On the buyer's agent side, they make, depending on the volume of their transactions, they make between 40 to 50%. And then on the listing side, they make between 35 to 40.
What is the variance? How does that go up? Is it just the unit volume, the sales volume? How do they go from 40 to 50 or 35 to 45?
It's sales volume. It's all about volume.
Are you profitable?
Our profit margins are right at 35%. We make a healthy profit. I'm not involved on a day-to-day basis working with sellers or buyers at that percentage. And we're also able to give back. We, for every 100 homes that we sell, we build a home for a family in Nicaragua. So we're able to do that as well, which is definitely gratifying.
Matt, what drives you?
So, yes, I guess a lot of different things. I went into sales because I like to earn what I'm worth versus just having a set salary. I like to be able to drive my own income. I like to be able to grow as a person and grow a business with that feeling of accomplishment. I love to compete. I hate to lose. So I like that side of the business. But really, probably the main driver of building a team versus still doing it myself was my lifestyle. You know, I have 3 kids under the age of 11, wanted to be involved with them and wanted to be able to have nights and weekends off. I'm very involved with my son. I coach a lot of basketball. So I'm very, very involved coaching basketball throughout the year. You know, I like to go on nice trips with my family. You know, Nicaragua is a huge thing on our heart where we go and build and we give. So, you know, really the lifestyle for my family, but at the end of the day, I like to be able to not have to worry about money and to really be able to give and make an impact on our community locally and internationally.
Matt, why have you been so successful?
Well, the secret formula that I learned early on getting into real estate, there was actually a study out of one of the universities in California, but it was reading an hour a day in your chosen profession will double your income every 2 years. And I did that religiously. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, I was reading an hour a day, every day. And you don't see a big difference the first couple of weeks, the first month, first couple of months, but the momentum starts to build. And every time that I stopped reading, my income has flattened out. And every time I've started back, then it started doubling again. And every time that I've done that, my business has doubled, or my income has doubled every 2 years.
What kind of items are you reading? Give us some examples of items that you would read about your profession.
Well, when I was in new home sales, there was a lot of new home sales books. It was the John Palumbos and the Myers-Barnes and the general psychology, the Zig Ziglar type stuff. As I've progressed in my career, everybody's always in sales and you're always selling, but I've already kind of reached a certain stage where of competency that I'm good there. But really my focus now is how do I build a good culture for my business? How do I build a company that lasts, you know, the Jim Collins type books. And so, you know, sales. So really my first focus was sales and motivation, and then it became marketing. I learned how to market and create a ton of leads, and now it's really, okay, I got the leads. We would be at such higher place if we could continue to develop this awesome culture where, you know, we continue to retain agents and attract the best agents. How do we figure that piece of the pie out? So that's the focus that I have right now.
Well, Matt, you mentioned that in the very beginning, the reason you got your license was so that you could invest in real estate. Have you continued to do that?
I do. I've sold some properties. I currently have 3 properties that I own that are fairly large properties, a couple that are four bedroom condos that I rent out to students, and I've got what is called a water park condo, like an investment vacation type home that serves two purposes that I earn income off of, and I also can take all my kids on one-on-one trips each year, so I can take them down there and have a good time for a few days. So all three of those are completely paid off.
How did you get them paid off? Did you accelerate the payments? How did you pull that off?
One step at a time. it's kind of the Dave Ramsey method of snowballing. I borrowed money at the time to obtain the properties, but then all of my excess profits from the business and also from these other condos, I would invest into a single unit to get it paid off, and I move on to the next one and to the third one. Now they're all paid off.
Matt, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
I would advise them to do one of two things. It's all about the leads, and it takes a lot of time to build up and ramp up your leads. And so I would do one of two things. I'd go and work for a builder, or I would go and work for a real estate team that has leads.
Matt, do you think that top agent interviews like the one we're doing now with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
Without a doubt. I mean, give you an idea, I was at my morning run this morning, I was listening to one of your interview calls. Yesterday, I was listening to one of those interview calls. Truly, the programs like you put together and the ones before you and the books and the CDs and stuff that's out there has made my business where it is. And so, you know, the reason I'm doing this is because so many people have invested their time into me that they don't even know about. It's my way to give back and to say thank you for people like yourself that's doing this great service to our industry.
Well, Matt, I've gotten to the end of my questions for today. Do you have any parting thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, I've got two. First, I'm going to throw a little nugget out there of something that we're doing that may be helpful for some agents that are trying to recruit. Recently, we had a recruiting challenge, and so we put together a mass email to our entire board. We loaded those emails into MailChimp, sent it out. From there, we could view everybody that opened that email. And then from there, we took everyone that opened the email and did some retargeting of Facebook ads with a target message that we were trying to send to those agents. And it appears to be working. That combination, we set up 7 appointments in 1 hour yesterday off of that list for interviews.
Wow.
So that's a little nugget out there for people that need to recruit. Number two is you can't achieve something that you don't have written down. You know, so for us, it's about writing down your goals. You know, what gets measured gets done.
Well, Matt, your advice is paying off. You and your team are growing and helping more and more families. You started with a new home builder to put yourself in front of leads right away. Now you're providing your team members that same opportunity by generating internet leads and teaching your agents how to convert them into clients. You've built the foundation for your production to go up another 40% this year with your systems, checklists, tracking, and coaching. I can't wait to hear how big you take this. Thank you for sharing and being our top agent of the month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who went from 52 to 516 homes sold in 5 years. Find out who he is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network, where top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.